Welcome to the HQ Podcast. I am your host, and you are now listening to Relationships with Rob. What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the HQ. Today is August 13, 2018. My name is Rob. I'll be your host for the show. Welcome. Happy Monday. If this is your first time tuning in, we do these shows every Mondays and Friday. Mondays are usually interviews, but sometimes I do solo rounds on Mondays because sometimes I have something more to talk about that's going to last a little bit more than 10 minutes, which is what I like to keep the Friday episodes at, short and sweet. And today, guys, I'm going to be getting a little bit vulnerable with you guys. I mean, most of you guys don't know my story, so I'm going to lay a little bit of it out there on this episode. But, you know, before we get into all that, I got some special announcements I'd like to make to y'all. All right. So first and foremost, I know I said I was going to launch the second round of the Legion last month, but I feel like I got to take my time on this one. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, I can't lie, and I've learned to let go of that over the years, but I still have that muscle in my brain that kind of flexes and shows up every once in a while. So he's like, you need to chill out on this one for a bit. And it's because I really want to hit this one out of the park with you. There's a lot of programs out there, and it's pretty hard to compete, but the difference in this program is that there's an ongoing support mechanism in the background, and that's extremely priceless, all right? So when you have people who have been through what you have, and you surround yourself with them, things start to get less heavier on your shoulders, because when there's people just sharing their failures and mistakes with you, ultimately, it makes you that much more successful. Yes, our failures are successes. We just need to reframe what we say to ourselves, and knowing that you're not alone in this is one heck of a confidence booster, okay? So I've been really silent on this because I've been listening. I'm hearing all of the struggles, and I'm making this the program that will solve not all, but most. Or at least it'll point you in the right direction, and I'm sure of this. So without giving too much of it all away, there's going to be opportunities for you to, you know, launch your side hustle, increase your net worth, get fit, not just physically, but emotionally and all and mentally as well. And, you know, have the relationships and bonds that you wished you had during your lonely times. And it's not just about taking action. It's about being held accountable, but then analyzing those results to get better or to get more. Because if we aren't constantly growing, we are just slowly dying. All right. So maybe you aren't there yet. That's cool. That's totally fine. Let me get to my second announcement then. Okay. So one of the things that I do, or that you should do, is surround yourself with books, resources, podcasts like this, just to better your knowledge. But don't overload yourself, you know, stick to a couple mentors and coaches that you can learn from. And it's okay to outgrow them too. Then you can just add as you go. But I do want to give you guys something of value, and it's totally free. It's an ebook, which is a condensed version of the book that I wrote, which is also the whole concept behind this show, which is to find happiness from within. It's a simple foundational way of thinking and looking at life in an organized way, all right? Four areas, it's simple. So go get your copy, it's free. I'll post that link in the show notes so you can get to it. Download it, share it out, but more importantly, apply it to your daily life. I've heard hundreds of stories from men, and these are solutions from all of what I've heard over the years, okay? Like, I've literally listened to everyone's pain and their struggles. I've listened to every single word that they've expressed. And, you know, this is one of those books that will get you going on that journey. It won't fulfill it. You need to be the one doing the work, like I said, no one else but you. And like I said, it's just a simple foundational way to think, okay? So go get your copy of that book. It's in the show notes, so you can get to it in one click. And those are all the announcements that I have. Let's get into the real meat, shall we? Which is, you know, my story. I mean, how this all came about. I talk about this briefly in my book, but there's just so much you can talk about in a book. This is a little bit more raw, unfiltered, unedited. Well, maybe just the intro part, but, you know, all of this is just off the cuff. And I mean, there are things in this book that I can't talk about for personal reasons, but I feel a little bit okay doing it here. I had a pretty typical second generation immigrant life. And when I say typical, I mean for the Korean community. Just after World War II, there was a huge mass exodus where a lot of Koreans left Korea. They went to America, Canada, Europe, South America, and, you know, they just wanted to get away from what was going on there and start up their own businesses or what have you, and, you know, raise a family just to give them what they thought would be a better future, since it was just that country was so war torn. And, you know, that decision wasn't such a bad idea, at the time. And so my parents came to Canada in the 70s, you know, where they tried to, you know, do whatever they could to muster up some dough to survive. I mean, I think my dad came with like $2. And, you know, they just hustled to get money to do whatever they wanted to do. And I think it was one of their goals or dreams to, you know, have a variety store, one of those corner stores. Because that's what Koreans typically did when they came here. It was either like a dry cleaners or a convenience store or a restaurant or something like that. And, you know, my parents opted for the convenience store. And, you know, in the 80s, they decided that they would have their last kid, me. And, you know, my brother was born in the 70s, but, you know, that we pretty much, as four of us, we pretty much started our Canadian journey with some pretty humble beginnings. I mean, I was pretty spoiled, I think, as a kid. I don't think I can deny that fact. I mean, I was very much aware at school during lunchtime when, you know, I was getting Happy Meals delivered to me by my dad, and, you know, the other kids were like, try to trade their bologna sandwiches for, like, you know, Fun Dip or, you know, chocolate bars that I would bring from the store. And so, and they would always fight over my fries. And so, you know, I was definitely generous, though. I never was afraid to give things away. And so I guess I was quite popular, so to say, in that regard. But I was just kind of buying friendship, so to say. I don't know if they really liked me or whatever, but yeah, in that sense, I was definitely given more than the other kids, you know. But I mean, I'm going to be real and honest with you guys. On the surface, it looked like that. I mean, at home, we were struggling. It was a tough life. I mean, growing up in the 90s when, you know, we had a really big crash, in the real estate market, but, you know, just the economy was everyone was struggling in the 90s. And but, you know, I was doing okay. We were like, my parents were doing okay. And so, but like I said, it looked good on the surface. And, you know, because Korean people are all about reputation. And so as long as it looked like you were doing good, then people really can't talk shit about you, because that's what a lot of Korean people do. Unfortunately, they gossip and they compare. And, you know, so it was a very confusing life. And like, I was getting hand-me-downs, but I was getting McDonald's delivered to me at lunch. So it was just, it was a weird balance. It was an interesting balance. You know, but fast forward a bit, and, you know, the area that I lived in, where we had our convenience store, wasn't the greatest. I guess you could call it ghetto fabulous, but it wasn't a nice area of Toronto, but yet it wasn't, you know, that bad. But it was enough for my parents to think that I needed to move to a suburb, called Burlington. Now, for the record, I got more corrupted here than any other place in the world, so go figure. Let's just say by grade 9, I've dabbled with a lot, and I was that token Asian kid, though. I was an athlete. I played hockey, like very competitively, baseball, volleyball. I was a smart kid, too. I was on the student council. I mean, I was getting easily A-plus student. I was like easily an A student, and I even did the morning announcements for my high school. Not a lot of people know that. So to my parents, it looked like it worked. But I had a little bit of a double life. I still had my friends in Toronto. I would go there on the weekends to kick it, because, well, my parents had two stores. We had one in Toronto, we had one in Burlington, and, you know, I had to work at both of them. So I was working in the Burlington store on the weekdays, and then on the weekends I would go to Toronto to help my dad out on that side. And, you know, it was the norm for any Korean kid. And while, you know, everyone was out bike riding and doing kid stuff, we were usually stuck in our family business folding napkins or watching the cash register or something like that. So during my teenage years, I had a fake ID. And when you have a fake ID that works, you just wreak havoc, especially when your friends are all older than you. And I never really hung out with people my age. They were always like 4 or 5 years older than me, something I never really figured out to this day. Maybe it was just a maturity thing, I don't know. But I hung around not so nice people in Toronto. They were in what I call the scene. It's a rough life. You either end up dead or in jail, or if you're like me, you get lucky enough to leave it. And that's kind of what I did. Anyone who knows about it knows how hard it is to leave it without facing some backlash or scrutiny. So in grade 11, I remember that's when my hockey career ended. I was playing volleyball in gym class, and I tore every single ligament in my left ankle. And it came at about the worst time because, you know, my season was just about ending for hockey, and we were about getting ready for, you know, tryouts for, you know, junior teams. I was at that age where I was getting scouted and recruited to go into tryout for some OHL teams, and their feeder teams. And so, as soon as my hockey career ended, I was very depressed. So, you know, I hung around more with those people and less with the jocks that I was normally hanging out with. But it also didn't help that I needed to move back to Toronto because there was some drama that happened with, the Burlington store. So, you know, obviously I got into way more trouble after that. There's a lot of encounters with, you know, police, courts, you know, spending the night in jail. My friends either dying from, you know, beef from the streets, or just, you know, killing themselves, or just drinking and driving accidents. You know, like that life was just a nightmare when I look back at it. So I decided I was going to hide it with a wife and kids, and that's exactly what happened. I got married very young. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. But when you're 23 and you've lived a lot of life already, and most of the people that you hang around with are like, you know, almost 30, you start to think you know it all. And after the divorce, I was, you know, obviously broken, bitter, depressed, like most guys. I told myself I wouldn't fall into old patterns though. So I went completely legit, and you know, I found a job, started working out more. I was, you know, scraping my way back into somewhat of an existence. But it was still a rocky road. And when you're trying to figure it all out at the very beginning on your own, your frustrations are only going to increase. And I'm not trying to be negative here. I really feel as if you're only going to get so far when you try to do things alone. And I noticed I turned inward, and although I needed help and I knew I needed some fast, I didn't want to ask for it. And I can talk all day about toxic masculinity, because that's just how it relates to, you know, men when they get into these situations, they bottle things up, and, you know, they feel as if they don't need to show what is going on the surface. So anyways, this is why I learned how important it is to surround yourself with people who have been in your situation so you can get better from it quicker. I started a real estate company because that's what I was knowledgeable in. I studied real estate my entire life. I was an agent, and, you know, I still do. I figured, you know, what better business is to start than that. So, but I quickly realized that real estate was my hobby and it was not really my passion. And so that business failed. And, you know, I dabbled in a lot of online marketing stuff. And, you know, after buying program after program, I was just still stuck listening to, you know, these so-called gurus, and then realizing I needed to just pay more to get their high-level coaching. And, you know, I was just breaking the bank. And it wasn't until that one program that kind of changed my life. And that was SOGA. And that's short for School of Greatness Academy. It's a course that Lewis Howe has put together, but I mean, it wasn't because of the course content. It was good, okay, but that didn't matter. I mean, what that course brought was hundreds of people like me. I met so many new people that I didn't know existed because I couldn't find anywhere I lived. And, you know, that's when everything kind of changed for me. I started, you know, what I call one of the best support group for dads. That's kind of why, I'm pretty proud of that. And, you know, that's kind of where that all started from. All of that was a challenge, not a challenge, but it was something that I wanted to create inside of the School of Greatness when I was going through the course, where Lewis kind of, you know, he actually challenged me to put 100 members in that group, and it's now, it just exploded. So, you know, I'm a published author now. I'm on the cusp of launching 2 more businesses by the end of this month. And so things are definitely on the up and up, and it wasn't always that easy though. There was a lot of things I did within that realm to get me here. But I feel like this episode would get a little bit too long if I start diving into all of that. But as you can see, it's been a roller coaster. And the biggest thing I've learned from all of this was having an attitude of gratitude. It literally increased my patience. It increased my ability to be kind to others. It literally solved a lot of things for me. And, you know, most of the internal battles, it does. And like attitude of gratitude, it does solve most of the internal battles that you go through. And, you know, I come from a different place now of calm and relaxation as opposed to fidgety and unsure. There was a lot of healing and letting go that had to be done. And those stories are, I guess, better saved for behind closed doors. So I'd love for you guys to connect with me more on a personal level, not just through this podcast, you know. So social media is a start, you know, but there's something special I will be planning for the guys in the Legion. So if you're a guy listening in, you know, just follow me on social media. You'll see what I'm talking about. You'll be handed a chance to be part of something really, really huge, and I mean monumental. So you got to stay tuned for that, all right? So just come find me on Instagram or Facebook, as I post daily stuff there. And that's mainly where I'll be putting up the announcements and whatever. So that link is in the show notes. So, you know, I hope you guys come to get to know me a little bit better. I have stories for days. If you ever kind of catch me, you know, one-on-one, you'll know that I never shut up. So, it's not that I love talking about myself. It's just that I have so many stories that I've been through so many things at such a very young age, and I don't, you know, consider myself old at all, you know, but I feel old. But anyways, I promise the more you get to know me, the more, you know, crazier stories that come out. So let's kick it. You know, let's get vulnerable. I think that's, you know, one of the best remedies that a guy can ever have. All right. So that's pretty much all I have for you guys today. I'm looking at the time. Looks like we are at about the 18 minute mark. So I appreciate you guys for listening to this far, and you know, I'm only getting started. I hope you guys enjoy the ride with me just as much as I'm enjoying being on it. I mean, it's just been a wonderful ride, and it's been only a year. So it's crazy what you can accomplish within a year. And I always tell people, like, just get started today, like right now, like do something that will, I don't know, just propel you into an uncomfortable setting. Because when you're uncomfortable, that's when you start to feel comfortable. Okay. And you'll know what I mean when you go through it and you put yourself in those situations, because the more that I did it, you know, the more that I accomplished, which is very, very ironic. Okay. But like I said, just stick with it, guys. I mean, I'm only on the 82nd episode or whatnot. So hang in there. All right, guys, crush your Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you're listening to this, and make it a freaking awesome one. All right. I love you guys all. Rob, your host, signing off. Peace out.